really lucky to be joined today by Emma Greenstein, and Emma is the university's mental health advisor. And thank you, Emma, so much for your time. First of all, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about you and your role at the Open University. So what do you do as mental health advisor?
Okay, hi, Jess. Yeah, thanks ever so much for inviting me in. It's a great opportunity to come and talk with you a little bit about my role and about the work that we do at the Open University for students with mental health difficulties and for all students, really, to promote mental well-being. So I've been doing this role for the past 5 years now, but I've actually been with the OU, I can't believe it, for nearly 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I started as a tutor, a tutor counsellor many years ago, so I work with lots of groups of students, and then I moved into being a general educational advisor, but for the last 5 years, I've concentrated as the Open University's mental health advisor. So my role largely involves sort of almost sitting behind the scenes and supporting staff to support students with mental health and mental well-being. So I deliver training to staff, I develop policies and guidelines, and if staff aren't sure about how best to support an individual student, they may well refer to me for advice. So that's kind of the sort of things that I'm involved in.
Wow, that sounds like such an important role, Emma, really important.
Well, it's a lovely, lovely job. I'm really, really lucky. I really enjoy it.
That's really important, isn't it? We all know that it can be really hard, stressful and pressured to be an OU student, particularly at those kind of crunch times like exam time, which we've obviously just had. You know, we all have mental health, and I think you'd kind of agree with that. So what can students do when they're at home and their own studying and they're feeling the pinch big style? What can they do to kind of help protect their own mental health? What would you suggest?
Well, how long have you got? No two students are the same, and what will make one person feel calm and relaxed won't work for another student. So I think it's about knowing yourself and knowing what you do personally to make yourself feel better in times of pressure. Some people need to connect with others, so it's about involving other friends and family members or members of their community in their lives to get support if they're feeling under pressure. Whereas other people need time out, maybe to take the dog for a walk or to cut off a bit more from other people, and they need a bit of solitude when they're under pressure. So no two people are the same. So I think it's about trying to remember, when you're getting under pressure, what it is that makes you tick. You know, what activities do you enjoy? When was the last time you made time for yourself and that you did that? When did you last come up for air? It's about balance, I think, and that can go out the window when you've got a deadline, but it can become counterproductive just to completely hunker down and not come up for air. So I think it's about noticing how you're spending your time. Is that balance tipping too much towards intensity of study? Would it be more productive to actually give yourself a coffee break or a chance to go for a swim, take some exercise, and then come back refreshed? So I think it's really about just tuning into your body and your mind and thinking, how am I feeling? How am I sleeping? How am I socialising? Is the pattern changing? And being alert to changes in behaviour that can be an early warning signal that things are perhaps tipping out of balance.
Wow, well, I think you gave us some fantastic advice in a really short space of time there, Emma. Thank you. That's really great. So I think some of the things you were touching on might have had something to do with mindfulness. I don't know if you could just kind of give us a little snapshot of what mindfulness is.
Yeah, well, mindfulness, lots of people have heard of that now, but it can be hard for people to really understand what it's all about. It's really about paying attention in a very particular way to what's going on in your sort of internal world and in the environment around you. So, for example, it's about trying to come off autopilot, where, for example, you drive from A to B and you get to your destination, you think, how did I drive here? I wasn't aware of changing gear. I obviously got here because I haven't crashed the car, but heck, I was not doing that in awareness. It's about coming out of autopilot, where you're doing things and you're not really in tune with what you're doing, and thinking, I'm going to make a conscious effort to sit down and drink this cup of tea mindfully. I'm going to take it to my mouth slowly. I'm going to smell the aroma of that freshly brewed cup of tea. I'm going to take my first sip. I'm going to feel the sensation of that liquid liquid over my tongue. I'm going to be really aware of the changes to my body temperature as I swallow. And I'm not going to grab a sip as I'm dashing about, picking the kids up from school, putting out the bins, reading for my next assignment. I'm just going to do one activity at a time. So mindfulness is about paying attention deliberately to what you're doing, how you're feeling, what thoughts you're having. It's not necessarily about emptying your mind. I mean, who can ever do that? It's just about noticing what thoughts you're having, noticing your breathing, noticing the physicality around you. And the idea is to stop yourself worrying about the past or anticipating the future, but to really experience the moment, the sort of the here and the now, because we're so good at multitasking that we're kind of missing out often on actually doing one thing at a time and really noticing what we're doing. And we miss out on a lot of experiences. Mm-hmm. So mindfulness practice is about practicing to pay attention in a particular way for a limited period of time. And it's not necessarily sitting on a beanbag in a meditative position. You can go for a mindful walk. If you want to know more about it, the best site you can go to, I think, is actually called Mindfulness for Students. Just Google Mindfulness for Students and it'll give you some free resources, some free meditations, some free exercises. Some of them are like 2 minutes long. There's a 2-minute stress buster, which I always recommend to students for exams. So in an exam situation, for example, if you feel that you're getting uptight, who doesn't in an exam, you can take a 2-minute breathing space, a stress buster, and for 2 minutes you shut your eyes, you take a deep breath, and you go through, I think it's a 5 senses drill, where you think, what can I hear, what can I smell, you open your eyes, what can I see, what's my body temperature like, what thoughts am I having. And then that takes 2 minutes, think, right now I'm back in the room. And it just switches you off from that exam paper and everybody around you. It's just, I'm going to go into myself and connect and take that breathing space. And I've known it work very, very well for students, particularly students who find that they speed up in exams and they complete things too quickly because they're really, really anxious. We've introduced this technique for them to do between each question. So before going on to your next question, take your breathing space. Do your next question, take another breathing space. So it's very, very practical. So the Mindfulness for Students, as I say, free audio resources, free meditations, and some sort of exercises you can do. But it takes practice, and the temptation is to think, I'm far too busy to fit that in, but it's really, really good investment of your time, I think.
That sounds great. I can't wait to go and find out about this 2-minute stress buster. I'm going to look it up straight away. If somebody has tried to do mindfulness or, you know, has tried different techniques, but actually things really are too much and they feel like they've got a problem, you know, that something's going really wrong, what can the university do to help?
My first thing would be to say, please don't wait until you get desperate to ask for help. There are all sorts of people here that can help you through your studies and with or without mental health difficulties, and the best thing to do is to ask for help before you get to crisis point. So for many students, their tutor will be their first port of call. So if you're feeling under pressure or you're feeling unwell or you just feel that maybe this isn't the right time to be studying for you, speak to your tutor, who can look at flexibilities and to look at options with you. So it might be that they can advise you on study priorities, or perhaps you can look at missing out an assignment or not trying to get the next one absolutely 100% right, but just send in what you've done and get some marks and then move on. Or the tutor might suggest that you speak to a member of staff in your student support team to look at options around maybe taking a break until you feel better. You know, sometimes it's just too much. You may be going through a bereavement, a relationship breakdown, losing your job. You know, life is difficult for people, and sometimes something's got to give. But for other students, they just need some flexibility. So it might be, for example, following a bereavement, for many students continuing studying is really important because it's a point of continuity for them when everything else feels that they're experiencing a huge sense of loss. They don't want to lose their studies as well, but they maybe need to have some support and some flexibility from their tutor, or to just defer their exam, for example. So ask for help, ask what the options are. Or it might be that you're newly diagnosed with a serious mental health condition, and you need your tutor to be aware of that and to make adjustments in tutoring tutorials for you. Mm. So it might be that you've got concentration difficulties because of medication you take. Well, you can record tutorials. If that's all done in the right way, that's possible. Or it might be that your tutor agrees to always send you an agenda in advance so that you know what's going to be covered. And so you're not going along in a state of anxiety wondering about what's going to be covered. You know, and you can make a choice about whether or not you're up for attending. It might be that if you're going through a really low patch with depression, for example, and you can't attend tutorials, that your tutor can send you any material or a summary of what was covered, or can link you to the tutor group forum where you can look at discussions so that you're still engaged and you're not completely on your own with the studying. So it's about us knowing what you need. And you might not know yourself, so we've got lots of ideas. So it's about talking to someone in your student support team or your tutor or both. And you can get in touch by phone or by email. So if you're feeling like the last thing you can do is pick up the phone, please just send an email. Mm.
That's really clear, that message then. If you're feeling like you need some help,
don't be alone.
Really do talk.
Absolutely, absolutely. We want you to have a good experience. We want you to be able to continue, or we want you to know what your options are. If you think, actually, the best thing I can do now is to be kind to myself and have a break. Yeah. You know, there's lots of flexibility. So please don't just go off the radar or disappear. Ask for some support or for some help or a discussion.
Yeah.
And we will try and work out with you what you want to do, what's best for you as a student.
One last little question for you, Emma. If you could have your perfect day, what would it be, do you think?
Perfect day, my goodness, can I just choose one?
Yeah. Just one. You have to pick.
Well, I love to be by the sea. So I think being outdoors, not sitting at a desk all day, and actually spending a long day getting up early and in not too hot, but nice and sunny, and walking by the sea, and just being outdoors, having some good food, spending some time with friends, and being by the coast would make it a pretty special day. Maybe a barbecue in the evening, or go out to the pub, something, not cooking, not doing any washing up, but just being outdoors as much as possible, I think would make my day pretty perfect. Thank you.
That sounds pretty good to me. Can I come?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not a great one for huge solitude, although, you know, that it's all about balance. Sometimes you do want a bit of quiet, but no, I'd rather walk along with friends.
Yeah, brilliant.